most famous showdown in all of American history. Showdown at the OK Corral, October 26, 1831, Tombstone, Arizona. If you've never been to Tombstone, Arizona, you should go. Wyatt Earp, he and his brothers. There was Virgil and Morgan, and then they had old Doc Holliday, made famous. And then against Ike and Billy Clanton, Tom and Frank McClory, Billy Claiborne, and Wes Fuller. 1831. The fight. Some of you have seen the movie. You probably shouldn't have, but you've seen the movie. The fight didn't last but about 30 seconds. But it made old Wyatt Earp famous. When we come to 1 Kings chapter 18, it's another showdown. You have 450 prophets of Baal. Verse 19 says there were another 400 prophets of the groves against Elijah, an old guy, a bony finger that could point you 50 yards away, point it right at you in your face. Showdown on Mount Carmel. If you've never been to Israel, one of my favorite places to go is Mount Carmel, where fire came down from heaven at this showdown. Hold on a second. There's another showdown taking place. Right here in this county. Right here in North Carolina. Good versus evil. Righteousness versus unrighteousness. God versus Satan. And you got to decide. So this is not about Elijah. Children of Israel, who are they going to decide? This is about people in the balcony. People on the mine floor saying, I love Jesus. I'm all in for Jesus. No holding back. Let everybody know. I'm all out for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this passage is about today. Three highlights of a biblical showdown. Sermon entitled, Revival Fire. First truth I want you to see. Condition of their society. 1 Kings chapter 18, look at verse 17. Came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubles Israel? Ahab was absolutely and totally corrupt. He hated God. Not just disliked him, he hated God. He was vile. He was immoral. He was wicked, and he was cruel. We have people just like this in this community. They hate God, hate everything that this book is for, and for everything this book is against. They hate the people of God. They hate me, and they hate you. That was the situation here. Ahab hated Elijah. Not just disliked him, he abhorred him, couldn't stand the ground that he walked on. Scripture says, you're in chapter 17, Scripture says in chapter 16, verse 33, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. So literally, Ahab was the most wicked man that had ever lived. Against Elijah, who was one of the most God-fearing men who ever lived. Now, pardon me, I just see this as kind of like a boxing match. In this corner, weighing, that's the way I see it. Who's going to win? Ahab and the 850 false prophets? Or this one dude named Elijah? Who's got a Bible or a scroll underneath his arm saying, hey, this is the way of the Lord. Repent or you'll likewise perish. Who's going to win? Look what he says. Look at verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people, said, how long halt Or how long waver you between two opinions, two positions, two convictions, two trains of thought? They could not make up their mind. Were they with Elijah? Or were they with Ahab, the wicked, the vile, the corrupt, and the prophets of evil? They couldn't. Now, these were children of Israel. Children that complained, proclaimed to be followers of God Almighty. But that they didn't amen Elijah. They didn't criticize Elijah. They just kept quiet. Look what it says, verse 21. If the Lord, see it, capital all letters, L-O-R-D, be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, then follow him. Lord is all caps, is Jehovah. It's the Hebrew name for Yahweh, the most sacred name in Scripture. When they would write it, they would put an asterisk beside Yahweh just so that it wasn't mispronounced when they were reading it. When they would come to Yahweh, the scribes who copied the Scripture, they would go, they would take a bath, they would change all of their clothes. Elijah says to the people of God, if Jehovah God is God, then it's time for you to get in the game. If Baal's God, then fine, follow him and you start working for him. But stop just sitting there and doing nothing. What's this? Last part of verse 21. People answered him not a word. Didn't argue. Didn't protest. They said, I plead the fifth. Not going to say anything that may incriminate me. No, but I don't want to offend Elijah. I don't want to offend the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Grove. I'm just going to bite my tongue. Now, there are a lot of people in our day. That's where you live. I don't want to speak up for Jesus. What are people going to think about me? They're going to think I'm one of those religious folk. They're going to think I'm one of those Bible thumpers. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The condition of society. They were weak. They were spineless. Pardon me, they were cowards. They were yellow belly. And that's the condition of our day. Man, this is the day to shine bright lights in a dark world. It's a time to square your shoulders. Say, hey, I'm all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. But too many Christians just keep their head down. I don't want to cause a fuss. It could affect my job. Number one, condition of society. Number two, contest for superiority. Look at verse 23. So Elijah proposes this contest. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces. Lay it on wood, put no fire under. I'll dress the other bullock, lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And the God that sendeth it answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, That's a good contest. Terms are simple. Whichever God sent fire down from heaven, consumed the bullock on the altar, that was the true God. Now I can see all these prophets of Baal and the prophets of Grove. I can see them high-fiving. Woo! This game is on our home field. We got home field advantage. Where you see Mount Carmel was known, considered the sacred dwelling place of Baal. So they're saying, hey, this is home cooking, baby. And Baal was the fire god. So if anybody could send fire, it was Baal. They had seen him do it. So they said, woo, this is awesome. They're high-fiving. They're cheering. They're not acting like Baptists. They are fired up. We're going to smoke them. We're going to destroy them. We're going to annihilate them. Hold on a second. Got a question. They had been in a drought for 3.5 years. Why didn't they pray for rain? Why did they pray for fire? Fire was not going to benefit them at all. Rain would. Here's the reason. Judgment of God has to come and cleanse before the blessings of God comes and bless. It wasn't time for rain. It was time for cleansing. It was time for purification. So it is in our lives. That's why we just went through a time of prayer and confession. Forgiveness. God's not going to pour us. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? He that hath clean hands, pure heart. You know, you're not going to get the blessings of God until there is a purification that takes place in your life. Number two, the contest for superiority. Number three, notice the conflict between these servants. Priests of Baal were in competition with the prophets of God. Here it is. Undefeated. Elijah. He's been to the brook Cherith. He's been to Zarephath. Hey, here he is, Elijah. The widow's son passed away. Elijah prayed and God gave him back life. Versus all of these corrupt, wicked, perverted prophets of Baal. Who's gone to win this contest? What were the prophets of Baal like? Look at verse 23. It says three times in verse 23 and verse 25, put no fire under. See it, cut in pieces, lay it on wood, put no fire under. I will dress the other bullock, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. Verse 25, call on the names of your God, but put no fire under. Why does Elijah keep telling them, don't put any fire underneath it? Because they were deceitful. They would dig out little dugouts underneath the altar where they would put somebody in there. When people weren't paying attention, he would slip up from the backside and he would put fire under and they would say, woo! They would have a holy dance or an unholy dance. They'd say, woo! Baal answered and he brought fire. But Elijah says, no. We're above board. No crookedness, no shadiness, no deceitfulness. Hey, no fire under. The fire's got to come from above. Let that be known to us. Too many Christians, well, it's just a white lie. Well, it's not that bad. It's not that wrong. It's not that wicked. Prophets of Baal were deceitful. Prophets of Baal were dedicated. Look at verse 26. They took the bullock which was given them, dressed it, called on the name of Baal. Notice this. From morning even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. What did they do? They leaped upon the altar that was made. False religious movements do not lack for zeal. Listen. 6 hours. That would be, if we started at 11, that means you would get out at 5 o'clock. Most of you would fall out on me about 12:35. We like that guy. We'll give him 5 more minutes. 5 o'clock, preacher, I got to have some banana pudding. You got to let me go. You know what? No answer. Just kind of dry and stale. What do they start doing? Look at what the King James says. They start jumping up. Woo! Come on, Baal. Come on, Baal. They're serving a false god, and they are fired up about it. Here's what I don't understand. How can Christians serve the true and living God? Just singing about on that third day, up from the grave, he arose. There's no jump. There's no dance. Not many smiles. Hold on a second. He's alive. And we should be praising. Amen? I didn't hear you. Amen? They were deceitful. But they were dedicated. Prophets of Baal, verse 26, received no response from their God. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. How does Elijah respond? Look at verse 27. I love this verse. Not a little bit, a lot. Verse 27. Came to pass at noon, halftime, noon, that Elijah mocked him. Said, cry louder, for he's a God. Either he's talking or pursuing, or he's on a journey or peradventure. He's asleep. Must be awakening. Elijah mocked him. Now, it's football season, and I like that verse. Now, there was one week, all of the Alabama fans, they were texting me, and they were blowing up my phone and letting me know that Alabama had won some football game. But then Alabama played that powerhouse high school team called Vanderbilt. And let me just say, the text messages go both ways. And I was texting, suddenly no one was saying Roll Tide anymore. That, you say, that's not spirit. Elijah did it. Look at verse 28. They cried aloud. And they cut themselves. Cruelty is a common distinctive among false religions. Pagan gods are supposedly pleased with the blood of humans. It's evil, it's wicked. Pagan gods, they would offer their children to the fire god, offer their children to alligators. Listen to me, this is political or not political. I don't give a rip. Anytime you're slaughtering children, it's wrong, it's wicked, and it's anti-God. Period. I don't care whose name you're doing it under, if it's Planned Parenthood's name or if it's Baal's name. It's wrong and it's wicked, and I'll never vote for anybody who is for slaughtering babies, period. Look at verse 29. Received no response, received no respect. Received no regard. Came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of evening sacrifice. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They've been there for 6 hours. There was neither voice, nor any to answer, or any that regarded. Any that regarded means that everybody else had given up and gone home. Something y'all would do if I'm still here preaching at 12:37 today. Just give up. They gave up. And they gave home. That's the prophets of Baal. All Ahab and 450 and another 400 prophets of the groves. And in this corner, there is this bony finger preacher of the Most High God. Well, all right, Elijah. It's kind of late. Please hurry. Why are you always hurrying the preacher? Please hurry, Elijah. Get this thing done fast. Because we're hungry. Look at verse 30. What does he do? Elijah said unto all the people, come near to me. It was showing transparency. You know what, guys? You should allow your wife just to, hey, you go through, check my phone. You can see every text message I have. I don't have anything to hide. That's our philosophy here at the church. Your money. We're spending your money in a biblically wise, prudent, some people say too prudent, way. But we're transparent. If there's not transparency, my mama used to say, well, what are you hiding? Elijah says, come near. Come near so you can see. And all the people came near to him. Notice what he did. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. The altar speaks of communion with God. One's fellowship with God can be evaluated. How's his altar life? So you say, well, I'm close to God. How you doing with your Bible reading? Oh, yeah, I don't read my Bible. You ain't close to God. How's your prayer life? My prayer life stinks. You ain't close to God. You look at 1 Kings 19 and it says that the children of Israel had torn down the altar
Anytime you look at the life of Abraham, came back from Egypt, first thing he did, repaired the altar. You want to see God move in your family, move with your children, move at your job? You need to rebuild the altar.
God, I've wandered, I've strayed, but now I'm coming home, never more to roam. Hey, I'm rebuilding my quiet space. I'm rebuilding my quiet time. Hey, every morning before I go off to work, hey, it's going to be me and you, Jesus. We're just going to commune.
First thing he does, he rebuilds the altar. Second thing is to look at verse 32.
And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord.
Notice this. Made a trench around the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Took a spade, took a shovel, and he dug this trench around the altar.
Not this little bitty trench, but a wide trench, a deep trench. You say, why did he do that?
Why did he do that? I'm glad you asked. Separation.
He didn't want the people to confuse the things of Baal with the things of God. He didn't want people to think, oh, well, Baal did that. No. He wanted a clear demarcation between Baal's over here, Jehovah God's over here, and I'm separated from wickedness. I'm separated from ungodliness. I'm separated from unrighteousness.
And let me bring it to Bennett, North Carolina. Biblical separation is still in the Bible, and it's still true. You say, what is it? That Christian folk should act different than unchristian folk. Amen? I didn't hear what you said. Amen? Y'all act like you're not convinced of it.
That Christian folk should talk different than unchristian folk. Amen?
You're not going to like this one.
That Christian folk should dress different than unchristian folk.
I figured I would lose a few of you on that. Come out from among them, the world, and be separate. What was Elijah doing?
He said, I don't want anybody to be confused. I'm with Jehovah God, and therefore I am voluntarily, I am being different, not that everything they do, but I want everybody to know I ain't one of them. Biblical separation. Well, my kids just want to be like their friends.
Do their friends love Jesus?
They don't need to be. The goal is, well, this is the cool thing. I'm not trying to be cool, and I'm not trying to be like my friends. My goal is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to be, as Oswald Chambers says, I want to be as holy as is possible for a man to be on this side of heaven. That's what we should be teaching our children. Hey, let's stop playing footsies with the world. And let's play footsies with the Lord Jesus. And let's be holy. Scripture says, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Amen.
Some of you are falling out on me. Elijah's separation, thirdly, maybe my favorite point. Elijah's saturation. Verse 33. He put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water. He didn't say 4 cups with water. He said 4 barrels. Now, this is not like these 1 gallon buckets. These are big old, pardon my grammar, honking big barrels.
Then fill one of them. Fill 4 barrels full of water. Hold on a second. Elijah, it hadn't rained in 3.5 years. Water is a premium. We can't afford for you to fill 4 barrels. They bring in 4 barrels of water.
He said, pour it on the sacrifice. Pour it on the wood. Fill up the trench.
Look back at the verse.
And he said, do it the second time.
Elijah, we don't have water to spare.
4 more barrels, poured it on the same altar, upon the same bullock, upon the same wood, on the same trench. is this? And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. What's that all about? Don't miss this. Don't miss this. You stay with me this far, don't miss it. This battle was not Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. This battle was about the Lord Jehovah God and the prophets of darkness and evil and wickedness and Satan. He said, hey, I don't want you to be confused. It's not two sticks rubbing together. Have you ever tried to start soaked wood? He says, I don't want there to be any confusion. The Lord is God. And our God, he can set on fire. You're going to see it. He can set on fire a drenched, soaked, filled up, water-filled altar. Look. One other thing. Often, in Scripture, you know what water symbolizes? The Holy Spirit. I just wonder, as Elijah is praying to God Almighty, I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Hold on a second. He's already rebuilt the altar of communion. There's already separation. If you want a move of God in your life, you got to have your quiet time right. You got to live a separated life. Clean hands and a pure heart. So who's going to ascend to the hill of the Lord? Already had separation. And I need the fire of the Holy Spirit to come down. Jesus said, John 7, verse 37, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Spirit. You say, Holy Spirit's not seen in the Old Testament. I'm like, yeah, he is. You just got to look for him. Number four, look at Elijah's prayer, his supplication. Verse 36, came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He didn't say Jacob. He says Israel, the forgiven one. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Hey, Elijah, hold on a second. I don't mean to interrupt your prayer. We're praying for fire. We're not praying for God's glory. Pray for fire. He wants God to be glorified first. Hey, Elijah, you're supposed to be praying for rain. It's not time for rain, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We want God to be glorified even in this situation. Before he ever prayed for fire, before he ever prayed for rain, he's praying for God to be glorified. He prayed for his own testimony. Look at verse 36. And that I am, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. God, I want people to know, listen to this, I'm all in for you. I'm 200% behind Jehovah God. I want everybody to know, Elijah, we don't have to wonder where he stands. Elijah, he's the servant of the Most High God. God, let them be know that I am 200% with you. Next. Verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that you art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. He's praying for revival of the people. Elijah, dude, you missed it. You're praying for God to be glorified. You're praying that these people know you're with God. You're praying for them to be revived. Hey, Elijah, you're supposed to be praying for fire. You're supposed to be praying for rain. He said, let's get things right and in order. When things are right and in order, God will send fire. Look at the next verse. So what happened? Verse 38. I wonder if there was a heavenly drum roll. I wonder if all of the angels were standing there at attention. All right, God,
He's glorified you. Hey, he doesn't want himself to be glorified. He wants you, and that he is your servant. He's humble. He wants the people to turn their hearts back to you. All right, God, what you going to do about that? Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice. When it was drenched with water, consumed the burnt sacrifice, consumed the wood, consumed the stones. Have you ever seen stones burn up? Consumed them. Ladies, you're going to like this. You might get your hanky out and start waving it. Consumed the dust. All of glory, hallelujah. Some of you ladies have never even smiled or speaking in tongues right now. Consume the dust. Look what it says after that. And King James, I love it, licked up the water that was in the drench. You know how I clarify that? TKO, baby. Elijah just knocked them out. They are out. They are gone. Elijah, God is the winner. The prophets of Baal are the losers. God shows up, it's all over. No sooner was the game on, when God showed up, the game was over. Now let me bring it back to you. How bold are you for the Lord Jesus? See, if Scripture says that Elijah was a man of like passions, just like you. Man, attacked by Satan and temptation, just like you. You know the difference in Elijah? He was bold for Jesus. Put me on the Lord's side. Hey, I want to be counted with Jehovah God. I want to show these people that God loves them. And I want their hearts to turn. Let me show you one other thing. If I wasn't Baptist, I would run the aisle on this one. Look at verse 38 one more time. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice. Fire of the Lord is the judgment of the Lord. Judgment of the Lord should have fallen on the people for their sin. Jesus said they were whoring after other gods. They couldn't decide if they were going to follow. Judgment should have rained down on the people. It didn't rain down on the people. No, hallelujah. It rained down on the substitute. It rained down upon the altar. It rained down upon the sacrifice. Do you get that? Sitting here at 12:15 almost on Sunday afternoon, do you get that? Hey, that's Neil Jackson's testimony. I'm a sinner, sentenced to hell. And God says, no, 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 God, I don't want your wrath on Neil Jackson. I'll be the sacrifice. I'll go lay myself on the altar so that Neil Jackson can go to heaven. Woo! That I could be set free because Jesus took the judgment of God. Amen. Y'all are asleep on me. What happened? Look at verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the one and only God. Why? Because one dude named Elijah said, I'm going to be bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will show Himself strong in my situation. You know what Beulah needs? Randolph, Chatham, and Moore County needs? Some bold Christians. Stand up for the Lord Jesus. Nobody else stands up. Courageous for the Lord Jesus. If nobody else is courageous, they say, hey, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm totally and I'm complete. One other verse. And you'll probably need to do this in your life. Look at verse 40. Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. They took them. Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and killed them there. There are some wicked things in your life. Hebrews says there are weights and sins which does so easily stumble us.
there are some wicked, false prophets in your life. Maybe it's a television. Maybe it's pornography. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's that phone that you're just addicted to 24/7. You need to slay it. You need to lay it down and let God, and you need to fall on your face. The Lord, He is God. He is the one and only. That's the first commandment. I'm not putting anything ahead of God Almighty. Some of you need to come back to the Lord today. One other verse and I'll be done. Look at verse 41. Elijah said unto Abraham, get thee up, eat and drink, for I hear something. I hear something, Ahab. I hear something. Rain is on the way. Hold on a second. There was a fire of purification. And now here, we'll see it next week. Here comes the rain of God's blessing. Some of you say, well, I'm not experiencing any blessing in my life. Not seeing any outpouring of God in my life. You go through a time of cleansing, getting rid of the false prophets in your life. Time where God purifies you. The blessings will come flowing and flowing